Hello, patrons. Welcome to the post-show video for episode 6, which is an
6.2.
Extra long episode. Yeah, we got it's like a 5-parter. So that's cool. So we started as like a weird sitcom and we ended somewhere considerably more like serious sci-fi. How's everybody feeling about that?
Great.
Yeah,
I thought we were a sitcom, but we ended on like a Christmas special where like a character is killed off.
It was a lot going on. Hey, I think that's cool. Like we're really kind of hitting our stride in terms of jamming a bunch of stuff into an episode. Because I think the tendency with this stuff, especially like world building kind of stuff as a GM, is to like really slowly like reel the line out a little and be like, here's a hint, here's a hint, here's some more little hints. But it's easier and more fun, I think, to just be like, here's the whole thing. Just go run with it. Here's a bunch of shit
right.
to go. Yeah. I had a really good time with the tone shift being as smooth as it was. Like we all kind of, I felt like y'all picked up on when things had started to change. And I think a lot of that, Dodger, was on you. Cause we had that little conversation after the first bit where you were like, what did you tell me when we were talking in the break?
Well, I started to feel like, cause Eugene is basically entirely brain.
Yeah.
So I was feeling like if anybody was going to kind of start glitching everything out, it would be him. Like he might be a good catalyst to start incorporating that almost too many cooks feel into this
yes.
sitcom we were in.
Yeah.
So that was really fun to think to all of those like really creepy videos that we've all seen and think like, okay, what's something that always happens that makes you feel off? Like just seeing something in the background that's suddenly not there and having, you know, repeated imagery and stuff. So I was glad that you and I were on the same page that way too. And like you started to incorporate those same sorts of things.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing because I think that like a lot of shows, because when I kind of came into this, like, and I think a lot of people in chat picked this up, and I know Jesse, you did. There's a tendency in shows to do like a weird kind of like, this is a show inside a show episode, and like the Mr. Robot thing is the obvious kind of most recent,
right,
one of those, and it's an easy-ish thing to do if you're a writer for a TV show, but to have a bunch of people basically just spitballing that stuff and like making it up as we go. Requires not to like toot our own horn too hard here, but it requires like a fair bit of synergy. We all have to be on the same page. And yeah. I was really impressed with everybody's ability to kind of like roll with that.
One thing I like though is that like since like Eugene was sort of doing this in the background, I didn't catch on at first. And so I liked kind of that I was in the dark for that for my character and roleplay's sake. And then once I started realizing, I was just like, oh, I'm catching up on all these hints of things going on.
Right.
That was a cool thing, because then if I'm catching on to it, then Aurora should be as well. If she's like, wait, you've already said that. Like, you've already done that. Like, this is weird. And then last, going Terminator, was like, well, this is...
That was scary, Aurora, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, fuck.
So. I was sad, dude. I was hoping Bay would win the fight so that, like, I could take her to the dance instead. But she,
yeah.
she got murdered.
Yeah.
She
well,
got murdered by, like, the straight A student, and I was like, well, that sucks.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Yeah, it could have gone a lot of different ways. There was definitely like, and we talked about this a little bit on one of the breaks. There's definitely like the reformed Ali Sheedy, like make the like if Aurora had resisted becoming the tough girl, it could have gone the other way where it was like we would have ended up with Thuja in a like a dress with a makeover.
Right.
So yeah, and I like that. I like that even inside, because I think that's the other thing is that as a player, like I've been in games that do a like a theme turn or a temporary like this is like the dream episode, and it can feel like a little like you don't have a choice or you can't really like affect things. So I wanted it to feel like there wasn't a distinct outcome. Did you guys feel like that you had a chance to kind of like change even that little like inside story and how it was going? Because I know it's like pretty weird and like off.
Kind of feel like when I activated my stunt to no longer be like controlled, I mean, that definitely changed what was going on. We didn't go to the dance, we didn't have the big game, and we didn't get to see what I wanted to go carry on Amanda's ass, and I didn't. So
yeah.
I was
just stuff too, like you could have chosen to be a cheerleader at the game. but yeah. you chose to like go with Thuja and be like a bad bitch, and that changed everything. Yeah. So stuff
that changed
like that.
Less.
The game actually didn't happen as a result. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Yeah, I liked that because I think in the previous episode when we only got to do an hour's worth, I really wanted to start incorporating those weird, like, repetitive Eugene things, but I had this feeling of, oh, but I don't want to ruin this like narrative that Adam's working on, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was cool coming into this one after the first hour to reach out to you and be like, are you cool with me like fucking with this? And you were like totally down.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I've really learned from playing this particular campaign, I've learned not to get attached to anything being a certain way, right? And to just let the universe kind of go in whatever direction it's going to go in. It's like this game more than any feels like we're all playing with a Ouija board. And like somebody's fucking moving the thing, but God knows mm-hmm. which one of us it is. We're like, okay, all right, yeah. we're going over here. Who's doing this? You? Me? No, I don't know. Okay, whatever. Yeah. So it's, yeah, I feel like that's a pretty good analogy for the way that this game plays, in that it wanders according to all of our inputs, and there isn't any one person steering, including me, most of the time.
Yeah.
Which I think gives it that kind of like weird breakneck pace and sort of strange magic that we're developing.
For sure. I also really enjoyed that, like, normally in most of the situations the group's been in, it's a resolution by Quinn or Rex, right? We're like the fighters. We like hash out and we finish it. Whereas this episode was like, we're entirely at the mercy of like Aurora in particular, and also Eugene. And so it was a chance for those characters that maybe don't get the spotlight as much to steer the direction of the entire episode, which was
cool.
People
in chat were saying that too, that they got to see other people basically take the stage and learn about them. Like, my character, generally speaking, was very mysterious to everyone. And I think even now the group can go away with a very strong understanding of what Aurora is now, even if she fully doesn't know what she is.
Yeah.
And it's not supposed to, apparently, that they now know something on her.
Yeah, and it's cool that we caught onto that as a group. Like, I mean, like, Quinn just did the fucking Neighbor Wilson thing the whole time.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah,
I was just like a regular dude in the football team, like, and we were just kind of like along for the ride. It was really cool. It was cool to learn more about the other characters in the group.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I like it too. I think it's really cool. I wanted to say, cause I noticed this a couple of times during the game. Sam, you're getting really good at like playing fate. Like there's that moment where you can see an opportunity for me to screw with another player who has no fate points. So you find a way to compel them so that they have some ammunition for when they have to make a roll. That was really good.
I was picking up on you compelling a lot. And so I was keeping track of which one of us didn't have fate points. And I was like, all right, if I compel that person to do something they're going to do anyway, then they can protect themselves from the wrath of the GM's compel.
Right.
Yeah. And it definitely worked out at the end there, giving Aurora that fate point, because otherwise you would have been fucked.
And it's a real strategy for like how to play this game, to give people like narrative power in exchange for the stuff that you've accumulated over time too. That's like definitely like a way as a player, not just as a character, you can like support the other the other players, which I think is really cool. It's a cool thing.
There's one thing you did, what you suggested to me, which I didn't even think of until this episode, and that was to compel Quinn to not see me when I was sneaking behind him. I've never even thought about that. And that's like a really interesting way of doing it.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Is like, yeah, you can make a roll, but if you're being forced to do something you don't want to do and you don't want to roll for it, you know, if you have a compel to be like, you know, you're too distracted or something else is going on that's going to prevent me from having to roll at all, then at least it gives that person the chance, whether it's me through an NPC or it's you know, it's another character, et cetera. So,
right. Yeah. I'm sure I speak for everyone when I say we're all the kind of players that would want to see that play out. So like to have that role and have it fail is kind of a bummer for everyone involved. So that's a really cool way of doing it.
I feel like one part of the mechanics of Fate Accelerated that we're not utilizing almost ever is rolling to discover an aspect.
Yeah.
And I want to like keep that in mind to do that more often, because I keep thinking, God, I bet that if we knew something about this place or knew something about this character, it would really benefit all of us. But I think it's just something we're not thinking of in the moment, you know?
Right.
Totally. Yeah. It's sort of the equivalent of the, and I was thinking about this today, it's sort of the equivalent of like the perception check in D&D or the read a person or read a situation in like Apocalypse World, where you're not sure what you want to do, but you know you need more information to make a decision. You can say, cool, well, while they're arguing, Eugene is just like looking around, scoping the place out, and I'd like to discover an aspect, or I'd like to create an aspect, right? Because you can also say, you know, we're in this place and I don't feel safe, but I'm going to look for a, I'm going to look for another way out. And you could say, I'm going to create the aspect, another way out, and then roll and successfully get that. So yeah, that's definitely a thing that y'all can do more of as we go, and that'll help out. Because often when you roll, if you roll well enough, you'll get a bonus. You get free invocations of those things. So it helps you on the fate point economy. You know, spending points that you don't, they're phantom points you don't have.
Mm.
Yeah.
So we could essentially create a prop in a scene with an aspect with a fate point.
Totally. Yeah. So the idea is, if you're in a scene, you can create something about it by describing what your character does or what you notice or something like that. And then if you roll well enough, you'll get the aspect in the scene, and you'll get, as a group, boosts, which are like free invocations of that aspect. Right. So that way, you know, if you create an aspect that's helpful, someone who needs to use it but doesn't have enough fate points to get a reroll or whatever, they can just do it for free. And they'll have a certain number of those. And then if you investigate an aspect on a character and roll well, you get free invocations of that aspect on top of it. Yeah. Yeah. And so as you, and what's interesting is that as you progress, I'll progress the NPCs. So, because they're going to change over time as well. So you can discover them now, but if you hit a milestone, then there'll be other things that'll change about them.
Speaking of milestones.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about, because you're talking about taking another stunt or?
I didn't know, because I'm like, okay, Aurora is very, very obvious what she is, a robot girl with a robot dog. And I was like, what can she do? And now she's, maybe next milestone, I think I have to wait, but instead of happy-go-lucky Alexitronian, she could be the Ascended, because she connected to the Hive for the first time.
You got the nano machines.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, I think it's... Based on just what we've seen on screen, it seems clear that Aurora is a human, but she, for some reason, has the ability to, when she's in a panic, manipulate machines and computers with her mind, and then as an extension of that, can function like an Alexitronian when she's at home. So there's something about her that obviously is, and I think that we're getting to a point where, in some way or another, everyone in the group is a chosen one, right? Like, you all have some big destiny to fulfill.
Right.
So we just need to figure out what the deal is with Rex. I mean, Rex is kind of carrier of the spirit of, and this is something I want to explore more, the spirit of the fallen prince, because you ate him. And I don't know, Eugene, you're a big slime. We'll figure you out.
I'm a big old slime. What can I say?
Maybe you'll be the exception that proves the rule. It'll be the three chosen ones and Eugene. So we'll see. But like that kind of like weight of destiny and that thing that, you know, these kinds of fictions does, where it's like, yes, you're the chosen one. It's spreading. You're all chosen ones in your own
right.
Way.
Yeah.
So yeah, what do you think? Because you've got some stunt space, Pocket. What do you do? You want to create a new one or?
I was wondering if there was a way, whether, like, in a time of pressure, which they were very pressured in that moment, and she was able to reach this pure, like, inner peace and manipulate the Alexitronian Earth around her, or, the space around her. Now, I was wondering if she could have that as, like, a stunt now, where in a time of great pressure, she can enter this state again, this, like, ascended state, and manipulate objects around her, but not, like, people or stuff like that. Like, she can't hurt or touch people, but objects.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the arc of you discovering your superpower and just how far it goes, right? Like, and what's great about stunts and about aspects on characters is that if you make a statement about your character that reflects on the world around you, it changes the tenor of the world. It becomes true in the world. So if you wanted to have some byproduct of your being the Alexitronian hybrid super whatever, be that you can do the trick where you can manipulate matter but not just in your homeworld, where you can just be like, cool, I'm going to turn this light into gold and I'm going to break this spaceship down with my mind. I'm going to use weird techno sorcery. Then you can do that and it becomes true. Do you have any more? Yeah, I was going to say, do you have any more aspects available?
I have four currently, but I was looking to change the minor ones because I wasn't.
Well, you've got four and you can have five, right?
Oh, okay. So I can have a whole nother one.
Yeah. So you could add a new one that is like, you know, nascent Alexatronian techno sorcerer.
Okay.
If you want to, because it means you're just like, you're a fledgling, new to your powers. Maybe they're kind of out of control, which is so much fun for everybody else to compel, right?
Yeah.
To be like, cool, you have this field, this techno energy field that can like manipulate matter around you. And anytime we can just be like, cool, you lose control of it and something fun happens.
Oh god, I like that.
What would that be as a stunt? It'd be like once per day.
Well, you'd write this as an aspect because
it's an aspect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, in the same way that like if you're playing a fantasy game with Fate, you wouldn't be like your stunt is magic. If you're a wizard, you would just have one of your aspects be, you know, newly trained wizard. Exactly. Yeah, cool. Okay. So we can talk about how you want to word that, but I definitely think you could lean into that as long as you phrase your aspect in a way that shows that you're still new to it. It's untested and that maybe you don't have total control over it. And we'll go from there. Cool.
So like newly acquired techno sorcerer.
Techno sorcerer. Yeah, exactly. Or like, yeah, wild talent, techno sorcerer, whatever, we can figure it out.
What is the D&D version of like the wild one that can like do massive damage, but it can like they can get out of control? Do
you know? Yeah, that's right. Like, yeah, wild. Well, it's wild magic in D&D, but it's basically the same thing. Or like, in like, you know, paranormal circles, they refer to that kind of psychic power as like a wild talent.
Okay. I'll just say wild techno sorcerer.
Yeah, I like it. Because you don't have control. This is the great thing about aspects is that every single aspect could theoretically become a thing that we latch onto and lead the campaign in that direction, right?
Right.
Like maybe you go to Quinn's homeworld and have to spend time among the lizard monks learning to control your power. Maybe they teach you that there is no spoon, right?
Like, they give me a jar.
Yeah, there's all kinds of wacky shit that we can do. So I'm excited. So what, I guess before we close up the video, what do y'all want to do next?
Go to his home planet, aren't we?
What's the plan? Is that the deal? You're gonna go to Slynn? I don't know.
That's where we're gonna go originally, but I don't know.
Originally we were gonna go there, but
we still have the two rescued lizard men, and we promised that after we hit this planet, we would take them home. That was your promise to them. So I think maybe we should roll onto Slynn.
Let's do it.
I'm down.
Yeah.
Down.
Okay. Cool. I'll put some thoughts into what that might be like.
Oh boy.
And same thing. Jesse, if you have ideas about how you want your homeworld to be, then definitely let me know.
All right.
But yeah, I've got some media references in mind that I think I'll head into. Cool. All right. Well, thanks for sticking around and making the video, everybody. Patrons, thanks for supporting Roleplay and for hanging out, watching the video. And I hope we will see you next time for Nebula JS.
Yeah.
Bye for now.
Bye. Goodbye.
Not the mama.